men. There are many accounts given in Scripture of men and women, individuals that have encounters and meetings with the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm sure there are some prominent ones that would come to your mind just where you're sitting tonight. We can think of Zacchaeus and how that man met with the Savior. We can think of the Apostle Paul or Saul as he was at the time and his dramatic encounter with Christ on that road to Damascus. We have accounts of the blind, of the lame, of the sick. Many men and women and children coming to Christ and having that encounter with Him. You know, many of these accounts, they are types, they point us to the glorious work of the salvation of Christ. Another such encounter is the one that we've read off this evening in Luke chapter 13. And here we read of how Christ meets with the crippled woman. We read how this woman has an encounter with the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not told much of the background or detail regarding this woman, only that she was found in the synagogue there on the Sabbath day. We read that in verse 10. And the Holy Spirit knew that when inspiring the Word of God, that we didn't need any more detail than this. We don't need to know this woman's background. We don't need to know her upbringing. We don't need to know where she was from or what she did for a living. That detail is not required. Rather, the purpose and the aim of the recording of this encounter between this woman and Christ, it is to point to the saving work of the Savior. It is to point to the great work of salvation that takes place in the heart and in the soul of that man or woman that comes to Christ. And so we want to take a few moments this evening. We want to look at this account in Luke 13. We want to consider a woman's encounter with Christ. A woman's encounter with Christ. And what an important topic it is to consider. You see, we all need to have an encounter with the Savior. We all need to meet with Him. We cannot receive the salvation of God apart from through Christ and Him alone. And this meeting between the woman and Christ, it is a type of such an encounter. A type of a sinner meeting with the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice with me in this account, firstly tonight, the condition that the woman was in. And we read at the very beginning of this account that is given here that this woman, she's in a very poor condition. She is not in a very good or healthy condition at all. We're immediately drawn to consider a great problem that she has. Look at verse 11. It says there, "And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself." Here was a woman who certainly was not in a good condition. She was not experiencing good health. We don't know exactly the condition that this woman had. We don't know exactly the problem that she was facing, but we know that she was bowed together, she was bent over. And so an outward effect of this infirmity was that she was bowed together, she was bent over, she was crippled. We read there that she was not able to lift herself up, and so she had this physical ailment. Here was a woman that was in a terrible state, a terrible condition indeed. Not only do we see that she was bowed together, but we see that the source of her infirmity was Satan himself. Look at verse 16 of Luke chapter 13. We read the words of Christ. And he says there, "And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound?" And so here, this terrible condition that this woman was in, it was a condition that was brought upon her by none less than Satan himself. And what a picture we have of the sinner. What a resemblance we have of those that are outside of Christ. We have those outside of Christ being under the infirmity of Satan himself. And friends, the Bible makes it clear, because of the fall of man, we're born in sin, we're shapen in iniquity. We fall short of the glory. We fall short of the standard. We fall short of God's holy righteousness. And as such, we cannot have that union with Him. We are far from Him. We're cut off from Him. We stand at enmity with Him. We hate Him. We are broken off from Him altogether. In fact, 1 John 3 and 8 tells us that he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. Here's the source of sin. It is Satan himself. And just as the source of this woman's infirmity, the source of this woman's great problem, it was Satan, as we read in verse 16. And so then we have a picture of the sinner. How that one who is born in sin, they're in bondage to Satan himself. Their infirmity is of Satan. Just as this woman, she is bound with this terrible ailment brought upon her by Satan himself. Firstly, we see in her condition that she's detained by it. She's detained by it. She's in bondage. Look at again the words of Christ in verse 16 and part of the way down through that verse. Christ tells us that the woman is one whom Satan hath bound. This woman, she's in a crippling condition and she's bound by it. She's in bondage to this ailment that she had. Her whole life was dictated by this awful condition. There were things that she could not do that she wanted. She was in bondage to the ailment that she had. She was in bondage to this infirmity. The things she did, the places she went, they were dictated by the very fact that she had this crippling infirmity. And again, what a picture of the sinner. You see, friends, tonight the sinner's in bondage. The sinner's tied in chains and bondage to Satan and to sin and to self. And what a terrible condition for one to be found in tonight. And the Bible makes it clear that that's the condition that we're all born into. We're all born in that state of sin. We're all bound by Satan himself. We're bound and caught up in the lusts of sin. We're in bondage to him. We're in bondage to this terrible disease, just as this woman was in bondage to this infirmity. And friend, tonight, if you're unsaved, it's vital that you recognize this very truth, that you're in bondage to sin. You're in bondage to Satan. You're in bondage to the great problem that is upon your soul. You see, at the fall of man, the entrance of sin into the world, it wasn't just Adam that sinned, but we sinned with him. You see, Adam was our federal head. What does that mean? Well, he was the representative of the whole human race, and he was placed in the Garden of Eden by God on probation. And if he had have obeyed God and not have eaten of that forbidden fruit, well, then he would have went on in that perfectly sinless state. But he didn't. He failed. He disobeyed God, and sin entered in, and as a result, the whole of the human race was tainted and marred and corrupted by that one sin. And as such, when we are born, our souls, they are not perfect, good souls, but they are corrupted. They are bound by Satan and sin himself. We're born with a terrible infirmity, just as this woman here has in our text. She is crippled. And so too, the soul of a sinner, it is crippled in sin. It is bound by Satan. Listen tonight, friend, you may have the outward appearance of a good person, but yet if you're outside of Christ, your soul is bound by sin. It is bound by Satan. You have this great crippling infirmity, and this woman, she was detained by it, and so too are you tonight. Not only was she detained by it, but she was desperate because of it. This crippling infirmity that this woman had, it was placing her in a most desperate position. Look at verse 11. We read there, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. Here was a woman, and she was crippled for a period of 18 years, and we're not told how old this woman was. We're not told how long or when she had the condition from, whether it was from birth or whether she developed it at some period during her life. We're not told. But despite that, she had this condition for 18 years, and that's a sizable chunk of this woman's life, regardless of her age. And she was bound here by 18 years by this infirmity. She had been suffering and struggling with this crippling condition for 18 long and miserable years. I'm sure she had done all she could to find a cure. I'm sure she had visited every doctor that she could afford. I'm sure that she spent 18 long and hard years trying to fix this condition she was in, and yet she had no success. She couldn't find a remedy. She couldn't find a cure. She couldn't find anyone or anything that could take her out of this terrible condition to which she was bound. Perhaps she was in considerable pain, certainly for parts of this 18 years, and how desperate she must have been for a cure. How desperate she must have been for a remedy. She would have went to the ends of the earth to find a cure for this great infirmity. And we don't know, as we said, when this woman had the condition from, but we do know that every man is born with sin in their hearts. We know that we are bound by sin from our very conception. Psalm 51 in the verse 5, the psalmist says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." We are a corrupted race. We are left in a desperate state. We are heading to that lost road to an eternity in hell, and justly so. It is the right and the just punishment for our sin, for our corrupted souls, for our infirmity of sin. and we're heading out to that lost eternity in hell, and we're in a desperate state. And our soul is in a desperate condition, and if you're outside of Christ tonight, your soul is desperate. It is in need of a remedy. It is in need of a cure. You're heading to a lost eternity without Christ. A place where there's no hope, no respite, where there will be no cure found. You're in bondage to sin. It leaves you in a desperate state, just as this woman here in her text. But not only was she detained by it and desperate because of it, but we see that she was destitute in it. Now, the word destitute means that she was lacking the means to provide for herself. Look at the end of verse 11. We read the words that she could in no wise lift up herself. We've already mentioned how this woman, she would have done everything in her power to try to find a cure for this infirmity. She would have went to the greatest lengths to try and find a remedy for her condition. She would have spent 18 long years working hard to try to drive herself out of this terrible condition. And yet she couldn't do anything about it. And God's word tells us that she could in no wise lift up herself. There was nothing she could do. She was helpless. She was destitute. Oh, she was in such a desperate, such a hopeless situation. There was nothing that she could do to release herself from the bondage of this infirmity. You know, friends, there are many today and they're seeking to pull themselves out of the bondage of sin and Satan by their own efforts. Now, they're seeking to pull themselves from the bondage of Satan through good works or through charitable deeds or through good living, but yet they're unsuccessful. You see, the efforts of man to remove sin always have been and always will be a failure. We'll never see success, and there's nothing tonight you can do in and of yourself to remove the great problem of sin in your soul. There's nothing you can do to take yourself off that road to eternal damnation. There's nothing you can do to reconcile yourself to God except come to Christ. Nothing that this world has to offer. There's no remedy, no cure found in the things of the world. And just like this woman, you're found with a crippling infirmity in your soul. You're in bondage to sin and you're desperate. You're destitute. There's nothing that you can do for yourself tonight. But thank God, as we will see in a few moments' time with this woman, that there's a remedy for you. And that remedy isn't in the things of the world. It isn't in the things of self. It isn't in anything that you can do, but that remedy, as we will see, it is found in Christ and in Christ alone. You see, friends, tonight, this is the hopeless condition of this woman, but you're not left in that hopeless state. There is hope. There's hope in the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 4 and the verse 12 tells us, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no cure for your sin-sick soul found in the world. There's no remedy found in the things of man, as this woman very well knew. But there's a cure to be found in Christ. There's a remedy, a cure for your sin-sick soul tonight, found in the person and in the work of the Savior, found in the precious blood of Christ Himself. Christ paid the price for the sin of His people when He died, that death on Calvary as He hung. And that old rugged cross is that blemish-free lamb. There He bore the wrath of God on our behalf. He cried out those words, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? What a tremendous cry from the Savior. See, Christ had enjoyed unbroken fellowship with the Father for His entire earthly life. And yet here, as He hung on that old rugged cross, the Father, He forsakes Him. He's cut off from his heavenly Father for that period of time, and He cries out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? You see, Christ was rejected for us. And that rejection that should have fallen upon us, that wrath that we should have to pay, that punishment that was due for our sin, Christ took it. Christ paid the price so that those who deny themselves and come to Him can receive mercy and forgiveness at the foot of the cross. When they trust in Christ, when they flee from their sin, when they flee to Christ, they will receive the great remedy, the great cure for their sin-sick soul, and they'll be released from the bondage of sin. And Satan will no longer have that grip of their soul because Christ will have bought it from him. Oh, He's paid the price. This is the woman's condition. She's bound with this crippling disease. But notice, secondly, the cure of Christ. You see, this woman, she was desperate. She was destitute. But here we read that she received a divine cure. And what a cure it was. And we read all about it there in verse number 12. It says, "And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity." Oh, here's a woman, and she's been suffering for 18 years in this desperate state. And in the twinkling of an eye, in a moment, she's set free from her bondage. She's loose. Oh, she could find no cure, no remedy in the things of the world, but when she met with Christ, she was instantaneously healed. Oh, it seems so simple, it seems so straightforward. But friends, tonight there's nothing complicated about the message of Christ and his salvation. Christ tells you to come as you are, as a weak, helpless, needy sinner. To come to him and to confess your sin before him. To plead for mercy and forgiveness. Now, there are many today, and they seek to overcomplicate the work of salvation, and they add on things. Oh yes, you come to Christ, but you have to do this, and you have to do this, and you have to go here. And whilst we're not minimizing the work of salvation, not at all, there was a great price paid by Christ. And we would do well to know the deep things of the doctrine of salvation. But friend, tonight, you don't need to know every doctrine of Scripture to come to Christ. You come as you are. You come repenting, pleading for the mercy and the grace of God upon your soul. You're to come as a child. Come with that childlike faith. Simply put, you're to turn and trust. Turn from your sin. Trust in Christ. Realize that you're a sinner. Realize there's nothing you can do for yourself, just as this woman had realized these 18 years with this infirmity. And turn from your sin and trust in Christ. Trust in his finished work there on Calvary. Trust in that precious blood that was shed for the remission of sin, and he, praise God, will save you. Romans 10, verse 13, that great promise, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Friends, tonight Christ has the power to save you from your sin. Christ has the power to release you from the bondage of Satan. He's the power to cure you of this terrible infirmity that is gripping your soul tonight. If you come to him in repentance and plead for his mercy, he's the power to set you free. Notice three very simple things about this cure of Christ. Firstly, we see that Christ saw the woman. It's a very simple truth, but look at verse 12. It says there, "And when Jesus saw her," oh, amongst that crowd that would have been gathered on the Sabbath day in the synagogue, Christ, he picked out this woman, he saw her. And friends, tonight Christ, he sees us in our terrible and sinful condition. He sees our sin, he sees our failing. Oh, he looks upon the soul of a sinful man and he sees that he is a hater and an enemy of God. He sees that he's bound by sin and bound by Satan. He sees our wickedness. He sees our hatred. He sees our sinful condition. And Christ, he looked upon this woman and he saw that she was in a great need. He saw that she was helpless. And Jeremiah 2, in the verse 22, says, "For though thou wash thee with nitre and with thee and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord God." You see, no matter what man tries to do, you cannot hide a sin from God. No matter what you try to do tonight, you cannot hide your sinful condition from Almighty God. Just as Christ saw this condition the woman is in, Christ sees your condition tonight. Oh, he looks into the depths of the soul and he sees that you're sinful and you're broken off for him and that you're bound by Satan. Maybe you give the impression to others that you're a child of God. Maybe you dress the part. Maybe you say the right things. Maybe you go the right places. But friends, make no mistake about it. You cannot fool God. God sees your condition tonight. God sees your sinful soul, your sinful heart. He sees that you're a hater of him deep down within the depths of your soul. And one day you will stand before God in judgment. If you're outside of Christ, you'll be told to depart from him. You'll be cast into that eternal lake of fire and you will receive the just reward for your sinful soul. God sees your condition. You cannot hide from him. That's the very mistake that Adam made in the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3. In the verse 8, we read there, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." They could not hide themselves from God. They could not hide themselves from the all-knowing, all-present, all-powerful God. God saw their condition. God knew that they had sinned against Him. God saw the entrance of sin into this scene of time. And friend, tonight God sees your sinful soul. God knows what condition you're in. Not only did Christ see the woman, but we see that Christ spoke to the woman. Verse 12 again, it says there, "And when Jesus saw her, He called her to Him." Christ not only looked upon the woman, but He called out to her. He spoke to her. He signaled her to come to Him. He saw the woman's condition and He had compassion. And He called her to come closer to Him. And in mercy and in love, He asked her to draw near. What a picture we have of the call of Christ to sinners. And if you're saved this evening, what a tremendous thought that is. You see, while you were yet in your sin, God looked upon your condition. He saw that you were in bondage to sin and to Satan, and He had mercy and compassion upon your soul, and He called you to Him. That effectual call. He looked upon your soul and He drew you to Him with that irresistible grace. He drew you to Himself and He called you into the family and into the fold of God. And so, child of God, tonight we've much to rejoice for. Much to be thankful for the call of God upon our lives. And we must never think that we've merited it or we've deserved it, for it is all of Him. For the unbeliever tonight, the great gospel call goes forth from the Word of God. That word gospel means good news, and that's what this book does. It hurls forth the good news of Christ the Savior. Yes, it warns men and women of their sin. It warns men and women that we're bound by Satan, we're bound in our sinful state, that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, but it hurls forth the good news of Christ that He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Yes, salvation is all of Christ. This miracle that we have in our text tonight, it was all of Christ, but He called to the woman, and we must note that there was an obedience that was required of the woman. The woman had to respond. And Christ placed a responsibility here upon this woman to heed the call of Christ and to come to Him. And we read that she did come. She drew near to Him, and God was pleased to touch her and to heal her. But friend, tonight, what will you do with the gospel call? What will you do as God calls you to come closer to Him, as He calls you to repentance? Oh, will you heed His call tonight? Will you heed the gospel call? Will you flee from your sin? Will you flee from the wrath of God? And will you come to Christ? Will you receive of His grace and His mercy? Will you have your sins forgiven? Christ saw the woman. He spoke to the woman. But thirdly, He set the woman free. Verse 12 again, it says, "And when Jesus saw her, He called her to Him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." You see, in the twinkling of an eye, in a split second, this woman was released from this bondage that she had had for 18 years. What wonderful words Christ spoke to her there, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." Put yourself in the place of this woman. Bound for 18 years by this awful disease, nothing she could do to fix it. And then she hears the word of Christ, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." Christ, He had the will and the power to release this woman from this terrible disease. And friend, tonight, you know these words of Christ are mirrored in the life of that one that comes to Him in repentance. When you leave your sin behind and you place your soul in the hands of Christ for salvation, Christ, He releases you from your infirmity. He declares a repentant sinner free from their bondage, free from their sin, free from the grasp of Satan. We have great words in Romans 8, verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." You see, those found in Christ are no longer in bondage to sin. They're no longer the slaves to Satan and to self. They're no longer heading to an eternal punishment at hell, but they have been released from the bondage and from the punishment of sin. And what a glorious truth. And that's the experience of this woman here in her text. She's been loosed from her bondage. And so too it is, friend, tonight, if you were to come to Christ in mercy and repentance, if you were to plead for His mercy and His grace, you'll be set free from your bondage. You'll be set free from the grasp of Satan's hand. But we're told a little more detail here about this being set free. Look at verse 13. It says there, "And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight." See, this setting free, it was instantaneous. As soon as Christ had commanded the infirmity to be gone, it was removed. And what a parallel to salvation. You see, when we come to Christ in repentance, Christ will save us instantaneously. There's nothing extra we need to do. There's no set period of time that we have to be a Christian for before God takes away our sin, but it's an instantaneous work. And that work is carried out in our souls by the Holy Spirit in a twinkling of an eye. Instantaneously. And the verse also says there that this woman, she was made straight. And of course, as we have already noted, this woman, she was bowed together, she was crippled, she was bent over. This woman couldn't lift herself up. There was nothing that she could do, and she had this physical ailment. And so when Christ removed this infirmity, there was an outward sign. Oh, it was very visible indeed that this woman who couldn't stand straight for 18 years now, as she was upright, she was straight. It's interesting to note in the Greek that that word used for straight here can also mean to build anew. To build anew. And that's exactly what happened to this woman. She was built anew. Such was the change that took place in her life. She was as if she was a new woman. And what a parallel to salvation. 2 Corinthians 5 in the verse 15 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." One Bible commentator speaking on that verse, he said, "There is a new course of life, both of faith and holiness, a new way of serving God through Christ by the Spirit and from principles of grace. New companions are sought after and delighted in, new riches, honors, glory, a new Jerusalem, yea, new heavens, and a new earth are expected by new creatures." Oh, the glorious transformation in the soul of the one who comes in repentance to Christ. What a change. What a turnaround. All things are passed away. Sin has been dealt with in Christ. Remembered no more. We have new desires, new purposes. There's a new found love for Christ and His work. There's a new and a better future. We're taken off the road to hell and destruction. We're removed from the condemnation of God and we're brought into the righteousness of Christ. What a tremendous change. We sung that hymn earlier, "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought. Since Jesus came into my heart, I have light in my soul, which so long I had sought. Since Jesus came into my heart, I have ceased from my wandering and going astray. Since Jesus came into my heart, and my sins, which were many, are all washed away. Since Jesus came into my heart." Tell me tonight, friends, has this change taken place in your soul? Have you been to Christ and experienced this great transformation as this woman has in our text? Have you accepted of God's riches and God's mercy? Have you partaken of the great remedy that is in Christ for your sin-sick soul? We have the condition, the woman, the cure of Christ, but finally, and very briefly, we have the consequence of this encounter. What's the ultimate purpose of this miracle? Well, look at verse 13. It says there, "And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God." She glorified God. The ultimate purpose of this miracle, the ultimate purpose of God's great plan of redemption, the ultimate purpose of God saving souls is so that God would receive all the glory and all the honor. Yes, of course, there's a benefit for the one that comes in repentance. It's a tremendous benefit. It's a benefit that no money can ever buy, but the ultimate benefit is for God Himself. It's for His eternal glory. Child of God, tonight we are trophies of the grace of God. Our testimonies, our lives, all manner of our conversation should point men and women to Christ the Savior. Should point men and women to the foot of the cross, to the precious blood that was shed for our sin. Look at verse 14. We note here that Satan, he tried to rob God of all the glory. Look at what it says. "And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, 'There are 6 days in which men ought to work, in them Therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. See, this ruler didn't rejoice with the woman in the fact she was healed. Rather, he sought to mar and to taint what had taken place by accusing Christ of breaking the Sabbath. Friends, tonight the world will mock the salvation of one precious soul. And they will do all they can under the power of Satan to rob God of all the glory. But look at the comfort of verse 17. Christ rebuked the ruler in verse 16. Then we have the response in verse 17. And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed. And all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. You see, all the power of hell could not stop God getting the glory. God will. God does get the glory for every soul that is released from the bondage of sin through the work of his precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the people here, they rejoice. Child of God, tonight, are you rejoicing in the salvation of Christ? Are you rejoicing that tonight you've been released from the bondage of sin? Satan no longer has that grip over your soul. Are you rejoicing in the fact tonight you're found in Christ? Have you given God all the glory? Perhaps you're in the meeting tonight and you're outside of Christ. You know, God delights in the salvation of a single soul. He delights when that one comes to him in repentance, seeking his mercy, clinging on to Christ and his finished work. And friend, tonight he'll delight in the saving of your soul. If you were to come to him tonight just as you are in repentance, fleeing from sin, from self, and you come and you seek the mercy of God, it would delight God himself. And he will receive all the honor and all the glory. Would you come to him tonight? And just as this woman had this encounter with Christ, she was healed and released from this terrible bondage that she was in because of this infirmity, would you come to him? And would you experience being released from the great bondage of sin, being set free from the bondage that Satan has over your soul tonight? Would you come to him? I trust and pray that you will, for the Savior's sake. Let us pray.